The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Precious loving God, as you have gathered us here on this Sunday afternoon, we give you thanks. Thank you for this space to be able to pause and to reflect on your word. Give us an open heart, O God, so that we not only hear, but we receive. And something that is said helps us to transform even more as we understand how to love you better. Lord, speak to me, speak for me, and speak through me, so that the words of my mouth are your words for your people on today. And we pray that the meditations of all of our hearts are acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a pastor, one of the things that I sometimes find difficult when preaching is when you have a Sunday with multiple things for which to acknowledge. We started with Happy Father's Day, and acknowledging all the fathers, those who are within our midst, those who hold the responsibility of being father, and even holding in space the fathers that are no longer here with us. We acknowledge that on today, we commemorate Emmanuel 9 in solidarity with the African Methodist Episcopal Church as a way of recognizing the complicity of us, the ELCA, in that moment when those 9 individuals lost their lives in Bible study. And we also commemorate and lift up today the recognition that 2 years after the signing of the emancipation that freed the slaves, there were still parts of our country where individuals were enslaved. And we call that Juneteenth. Layer that with the idea that we are working through the series of the Ten Commandments. And as a pastor, I was going, where, God, do I enter into this? How do I help focus and how do I help direct? Well, this week, we also had our Synod Assembly. And the theme of our Synod Assembly was, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. And we were privileged to hear Bishop Michael Curry, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, speak to us, teach us, and with joy tell us about his recall in I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story. Siblings in Christ, I would like to argue that today it's about a day of telling stories. Each of the things that I name are part of our history, part of our understanding, and it's part of how we tell the story. The Ten Commandments is the story of the foundation of the church and of God's people, of God's instructions of how to be one and unity. It's the telling of the story. Now, as Lutherans, we like to say, or at least I've heard, so correct me if I'm wrong, we are saved by grace, so we don't have to worry about the law. Yes, we so often say that. And yet in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, I come to fulfill the law, not to do away with the law, reminding us that the law was still very important in our understanding of how to be in community with each other. And so our study of the Ten Commandments. Now, as good Lutheran students who've gone through confirmation and all the classes that we were to go through, we've learned these Ten Commandments at some point, or at least have heard these instructions. We often refer to the Ten Commandments as two tables. The first table are the rules and instructions that point us to God vertically, and the others point us to be in relationship with each other, how to love each other. We will note today that our focus and emphasis is on the first table. But I'd like to remind us for a minute that the Ten Commandments that we are studying are coming from Exodus. And in Exodus, the Ten Commandments focus was pointing to and reminding the Israelites that they had just come out of slavery and they were now free. And they were learning how to be in community with each other again, because they had lost that understanding under the oppression that they were experiencing in Egypt. The second time we get these commandments is in Deuteronomy. And this time the Israelites were getting ready to cross into the Jordan, and Moses reminded them of these instructions, guidance of how they should be engaging with each other. The difference here is Moses said to them, remember, you came from slavery and you are now free. The pointing here was of justice. How do we engage with each other from a perspective of justice? And when Jesus was asked which of the commandments was greatest, knowing he was being tested, Jesus reframed it by giving yet another focus. Jesus reframed it by saying, look, y'all are having a hard time getting what we meant by these commandments. So let me break it down for you. It really comes down to two basic things of how we are to be in community. Love God, love your neighbors. Sound very simple and yet so very hard for us to do. So very hard. And so let's start with this first table. Now, depending on which tradition you come from, there may be three or four caught up in that. But for our Lutheran understanding, there are three. Love God. Have no other God is connected to that, no idols. The second is you shall not make wrongful use of the name of your Lord, your God. Or as I grew up hearing it, don't call the Lord's name in vain. And the third, remember the Sabbath day. So let's take a look at remember the Sabbath day. We all know the creation story where God worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And so if I was able to ask you this in person, I would say, what does Sabbath mean for you? And some of the responses I heard today, well, let's go to church on Sunday. We're supposed to study. And some did say, and to rest. That's what it said on the seventh day, God rested, to take rest. And yet how hard is it for us to rest? We are in a country, a nation where our schedules are so packed to be able to connect with each other. We have to say, well, give me a minute. Let me look at my calendar. 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, we might be able to squeeze some time in. Why did God tell us that we should rest? Resting is important because our body needs rest. Our body needs rest. And so often we hear someone who gets ill, and that's the first time they get rest. Because guess what? Whether we believe it or not, our body's going to stop when our body can't go anymore. We need to rest. Rest also is about spending time with God. And yes, the idea and the ability for us to gather here on Sunday and worship is awesome. Encourage corporate worship. It's also the time that we rest quietly to listen to God when God is speaking to us. And for some, Sunday may not be the day of Sabbath because you may be working. Yes, you may be working. So it's encouragement not to look at the calendar or Monday through Sunday, but finding that space that God is calling you to pause, to reflect, and to acknowledge God's goodness and to rest. Commandment number 2, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord our God. Do not call our Lord's name in vain. Most often when we hear that one, it's usually in reference to when someone says Jesus' name inappropriately. And yet, I wonder if it means more than that. I wonder if those times that we do things in the name of God that are not kind or loving are those moments when we are using God's name in vain or wrongly. When we oppress a group of people and think it is our Christian right to do that, our God-given right to do that, are we misusing God's name in vain? Using God's name, so many of us have heard on television these days in all of the spaces, the different groups that are pitting one against each other about who's right and who's wrong. And often God somehow seems to come up in that as the determiner of which group is the right group over the next group. Are we misusing God's name and using it wrongfully? And the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. I love Jesus reframing, you should love God. I also like this passage in Exodus because see, the thing that gets me is when it says that I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God. God is naming that God is important to us. God wants to be number one in our lives. God is inviting us into the kind of relationship where God is saying, hey, I think you matter. I think you're valuable. I think you are important. I think you are precious. And I want you and I to be so connected that nothing comes between us. Nothing. It's why we say in Roman scripture so often, and we will say it at funerals, nothing can separate us from the love of God. God loves us so much that God doesn't want anything to come between us. And yet, if we look around, how many things have we placed between us and God? Maybe it's a television show that you can't wait to get back to. You know, how many of us got a series that we just have to binge, right? Or maybe it's a particular item that you like to buy. Maybe it's an iPhone or whatever. And when it comes out, a new one, nothing's wrong with the old one, but I have to go get the new one. We've turned them into idols, the very thing God said not to. Why are these three commandments, instructions so important? In order for us to learn to love each other, we need God's help because we sure don't know how to do it by ourselves and in our own strength. God's instructions to us was for care of us so that we could be in unity with each other. If you love me, if you stay connected to me, I will make it so that you can handle everything else that comes your way and reflect my love in you outwards to each other. If you take time to rest and heal the body and to get the healing that you need, I will make it so that you are well enough to engage with each other. And if you remember the power of the tongue and don't misuse it, and instead connect with me so that the tongue expresses the love that I desire for you to have one with another. We can be in unity. My prayer is that we can reach that level, that we won't have any more of these days where we start our day commemorating the loss of loved ones senselessly, where we have to report on yet another school shooting, another community harmed, that we will not have to think about oppressing another group because we're so concerned about lifting ourselves up. These instructions are not for our salvation. See, that's what grace did. And yet, they're very important for our everyday living. May we reflect and rekindle the understanding of these instructions so that we can begin to live in the unity that God intended for us. Amen.